This FPL season has definitely been go, go, go. A nonstop hustle all the time. Matches, deadlines, unexpected blank and double game weeks, on top of everything the real world has had in store. Sometimes you need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. For me personally, supporting Fulham during this last year has been a true roller coaster ride. Honestly, when that Adama Traore goal flew past Areola in the 92nd minute of game week 31, the only thing that saved my mental state, the only thing that calmed my nerves, was cracking open a Coors Light. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. And listen, everyone, summer is pretty much here. It's about to get hot in New York. An ice-cold Coors Light is such a perfect way for me to beat that summertime heat. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light and the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate. March has arrived and we are only weeks away from the big tournament. Yes, that tournament. So make sure you head to betonline.ag and open an account today to get in on their $100,000 Bracket Madness contest that starts on March 15th. So whether it's the big tournament or whatever your passion might be, Josh and I, we're going to talk quite a bit about the Premier League. That's our passion. Just head to BetOnline. That's the place for all of your betting needs. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner, betonline.ag, to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and make sure to use that promo code BLUEWIRE, all one word, for your 50% sign-up bonus. That's betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts.
Hail, cheaters, and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League Podcast. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
I'm feeling closer to you than ever, Joshua, both physically and emotionally. We're on this long London trip. We're sharing a microphone here in our Airbnb in Islington, not too far from the Emirates Stadium. So today's theme is going to be London, you know, among a few other FPL-related things. How are we getting on so far during this trip?
You and I personally, good, I would say, overall. We didn't talk for like 3 hours yesterday. I think that was really the great thing for our friendship. We took a train back from Manchester. We ended up, it was Manchester via Leeds. It was like we woke up on Sunday morning. I don't want to get too much into route talk here, but we woke up on Sunday morning and our train was canceled. And so kind of stressful to find this out ahead of the Manchester Derby, but all worked out in the end. We, by hook or by crook, we had to stand at various points in our, you know, in trains to get here, but we got here or got there and got back. And it was a great match. I mean, the whole trip has been fantastic. Just as a very quick recap, we were on the FPL TV show on Thursday. And that was fantastic. We met James Richardson and Jules Breach and all of the really amazing producers of that show, too. It was just really, really nice people. And people actually listened to the podcast, too, which is really cool. And just it was just a great group. And then, the recording's available now. You can go to the Premier League website, fantasy website, their YouTube channel. You can go to just the fantasy app. You can find it on there as well. So lots of different places to find. We've also shared it on social media. So if you want to see us talk about Game Week 29 and for me to say that Ozil is not a fantasy asset and then have him score a goal. He didn't score a goal, but he had an assist late in that match. So, that was Thursday. Then Friday we had our massive meetup. And I think you were saying that the meetup was amazing. We don't want to talk about it too much, A, because a lot of people obviously weren't there who were listening to the podcast, but B, we sort of met too many people. We can't just name everybody. You can't name and thank everybody.
We really can't. But whoever came out to Coin Laundry down there in Clerkenwell on Friday night, just our hearts are exploding with pride and joy and just feeling all that love. So everyone who made it down, thank you. So many great new and old friends that we met. Appreciate it. It definitely makes it. The football is one thing, but to travel from the States to London to meet a lot of the people who listen to our pod, maybe even don't even engage with us online. It was just a really special meetup. So thanks to everyone who engaged with us there. We gave away some swag, some cool stickers celebrating various always cheating slogans like the bus team, the pure watch. So if you saw those on our Instagram, watch for those to quickly morph into t-shirts that you can buy at the Always Cheating shop, if that's of interest to you. So, right. That was Friday. Take us farther down the timeline.
Yes. And we will talk about actual fantasy here in a moment, but yeah, so that was Friday. Saturday, we went to the Arsenal West Ham match and we sprang for slightly nicer tickets for this one. And yeah, I think the Emirates, we've learned, is the one place. If you want to get the white glove treatment, that's probably the place to go. It was really great experience. I got a Gunnersaurus for my daughter, so I'm pretty excited about that. Match itself was whatever, you know. I think the food was better than the match. but it was a really, really cool experience. And then yesterday, the derby was really something else. I mean, I think when you and I went to Stamford Bridge last year, that felt like the best fan experience in terms of the fans just like kind of losing it. Yeah, the atmosphere. But I think that the Manchester Derby, especially when McTominay scored that second goal, that was probably the most exciting thing I remember. I think I've seen in a match, like in a match in real time, you know, live, because it's really cool. And our angle was we were dead on with the goal. So you could actually see him kind of curl the ball. You could see it happening, you know, in real time. Like, oh my God, he's just going to shoot this here. I think it actually was cooler because I've seen some replays on video. I mean, it was cool regardless, but watching it in real time, it was like, oh my God, this actually can happen. The ground kind of shook when it scored.
Yeah, the McTominay goal was one thing, and we had a great view of it behind the Manchester goal. But honestly, the best technique that we've seen this entire trip was from none other than Socrates. When we were behind the Arsenal goal watching them play West Ham, we saw Socrates play this ball down the right-hand channel, and it looked like he just played it out of bounds. But the bend that he put on the ball, we were kind of astounded that this Greek beast was able to have that kind of continental touch.
Yeah, he bent it like Beckham, didn't he, Brandon? He really, really did.
One more thing, Josh, on the Arsenal match. We haven't had a lot of great luck in terms of watching fantasy results bear out in these live matches, except for one. Now, if you were to say what's in the bottom of your list of great things to see happen with your fantasy team, I would say a goalkeeper clean sheet. So Bernd Leno came in on my wild card, right? I almost forgot that I was on wild card this week in 29. But Bernd definitely rewarded me and my faith in him. And so to watch a goalkeeper get a clean sheet and six saves was, you know, I guess that was the least I could hope for, but it was still fun.
The least you could hope for him. You got like 11 points. You're always so negative. You need like 19 points from him to be happy. 11 points from your keeper is pretty huge. So Brandon, I mean, just as a quick note, a quick sort of programming note, we are appearing on the FPL FYI show with James Alcott in just a couple of hours. I'm really excited about that. That's on the Premier League YouTube channel. We're recording that today. I think that'll be available shortly thereafter. But you can search for FPL FYI on YouTube or check out the Premier League YouTube channel to find the video and to find previous episodes of the FPL FYI show. So that would be very cool. And then this evening, we're going to the Leicester Aston Villa match. And then we fly home tomorrow morning. So we're really packing it in right now. So we're recording this podcast. It's going to be a little slightly different podcast than the normal just because we are sharing a mic. People don't actually know this, or not everyone knows this, but you know, we've recorded 200 plus episodes of this podcast now. This is maybe the second one ever that we've recorded in the same room together. We almost always do it remotely. And then mix it afterwards. So very interesting to be sharing a mic sitting like a foot away from you. so maybe a slightly different vibe than you normally get. I'm not sure what the sound is going to be like, but quick game week 29 score check. I am having probably my worst game week of the season. So I'm glad that I'm not here. I doubled my rank. It's a complete disaster. I mean, it's absolutely horrible. I am depressed and I hate my team. So that's all I want to say about my personal team. But Brandon, you've had a pretty good wild card.
Yeah, I guess I have. Yeah, there goes the negativity again. I guess so. Yeah, all things considered, I am happy with my wild card. And I don't want to go player by player through who I brought in. But suffice to say, the defense is really ruling the day in my wild card, bringing in Doherty and Leno, as mentioned. And O'Connell came in for me as a more surefire Sheffield United defender, of course, on the weekend in which Lundstrom announces his return from retirement, FPL retirement. So good on you, Lord Lundstrom. We still have love for you, but O'Connell came in on my wild card. All my points are really coming from the defense right now. It's the age-old story that I cannot beg, borrow, or steal an attacking return except from Liverpool assets. So Salah is there with his 9 points, but the vice-captaincy armband. We both captained Aubameyang, hoping to see more from him on at that West Ham match. I mean, Suj from FPL Planet, great to see you. You and James at the meetup, guys, mentioned the quote, West Ham low block. You know, however the low block manifests itself this season, but Arsenal did find it difficult to score. So we'll see how they fare. Hopefully it's a more open match against Manchester City. So I think what we'll have to talk about, Josh, in the next section of the podcast is we're going to jump from 29 immediately to 31. And the real decision I had to make beyond who to pick for the City-Arsenal double this week was, am I really going to try and bring in players for the blank game week 31? Ultimately, as you can see with Leno on the bench and four overall players who don't blank in 31, I'm kind of committing to a free hit. We'll get more into that, but you've kind of yourself convinced me that the free hit is the way to go, as we've talked during our travels.
Yeah, I mean, the FA Cup results really broke in like kind of a worst possible way for me. And the Norwich winning their cup match against Spurs was really kind of the last straw. I mean, I was in a position where I had 5 players for game week 31, and I would have either had to start making moves now to bring in those players, or I would have burned a ridiculous number of points just to bring in players from these, you know, 8 teams. And it just didn't seem like it was worthwhile. So I've officially decided. And also, you know, and part of the advantage there is that game week 30 sort of turns into a free hit week where I can just sort of bring in anybody I want because I'll be free hit in the next week. And so, yeah, so I think we're going to talk about game week 31, take a quick break, and then we'll talk about the forgotten game week 30, which is the game week right in front of us. And as is often the way with these things, you know, you overplan for double game weeks and they turn it. This is like what? Like the I don't know. It feels like that. Like we're at like 80% of the time now double game weeks don't work. Like 4 to every 5 double game. It's like, yeah, I mean, obviously there's always one player who does really well in the double, but it's like it's hard to predict as it is, you know, during a single game week. And so it's just this, you know, we are over planning for these double game weeks consistently and they're not rewarding us. I mean, I just, you know, if I had just slept in a little bit later, I would have Salah captain. I would have had Martial on my team still. You know, it's just like, you know, we are constantly overthinking this stuff. And so, I think part of the idea behind free hitting in game week 31 is like, just don't overthink it. Like, I don't want to load up on 2 or 3 Watford players ahead of an away match at Burnley. I mean, that's not going to be a good match. Like that's going to be a really tough match for any of their attacking players to do anything. So I'm going to be burning 4 or 8 to bring in players for a match like that. I'd rather free hit, bring in, you know, 3 Spurs, you know, 3 Wolves, and go from there. So, Brandon, just a quick, we're not going to share the, Always Treating Super League, notes here because you know, we're obviously, we have matches tonight and then we've got the double game week on Wednesday. God, I really need Aubameyang to do something in that match.
On the Aubameyang thing, we do need Aubameyang to do something. Yes, let me underline that. But if there was a flaw in Arteta's plan against West Ham, it was the continuation of the Nketiah experiment. So don't put this on Aubameyang. Yeah, I brought in Pepe just for the double game week. Pepe didn't exactly have a great game, but Nketiah was playing centrally and basically screwed up every move that Arsenal tried to make. So hopefully that gets reworked. Maybe Lacazette comes in, or Arteta even plays Aubameyang through the middle for that City game. So I'm expecting more from him on Wednesday.
Yeah, I mean, people were mad at Aubameyang. Like, it was not his fault. Like, completely accidental left. No one was passing the ball. You have Ceballos, who just, you know, has acres of space and is just looking to get rid of that ball as soon as he possibly can. Just like, it was very frustrating watching their midfield perform. And yeah, as you said, Nketiah really was poor as well. And it's no surprise that they didn't score until Lacazette came out of the match. So, you know, hopefully we'll see Lacazette and Aubameyang on Wednesday. We probably won't, because those two have not typically played together in difficult road matches. I guess that was more under Emery. So we'll see what Arteta does. The Arteta return, though, to you know, Etihad, it will be cool to see. I guess I'll be at work. That's Wednesday. We'll be back in the U.S.
Obi-Wan versus Darth Vader. Actually, it's kind of Obi-Wan versus Darth Vader, but in reverse.
Yeah, who's the bad guy in that case? I don't know. Yeah, it's tricky.
Aren't we all bad guys?
we're all the bad guy. All right, so no Super League, but Brandon, can you do a quick thank you to our new patrons, please?
Yeah, huge thanks to our new patrons at the Volkswagen level, Philip Schrod, and at Lord Sorloth, the tier where we are welcoming to the team Seth Ryan, Becca Silby, Ryan Hemmings, Austin Foster, and Jefferson Tuner. And at the Pookie patron level, big welcome to Andrew King. Of course, to support the Always Cheating podcast, just visit patreon.com/alwayscheating. Lots more information there about what you get in return for your support, including an extra podcast every week, entrance to our Slack chat forum, extra leagues, so on and so forth. So that's the Patreon shout out. Now we'll take a quick I'm so drunk on London right now, Josh, that I can't talk. All right, we're going to take a quick break and we're going to come back and talk more about game week 31 before we take another break and on to game week 30.
All right, Brandon, game week 31 is not here. It's actually a week away. But what you do this game week in many ways determines what you do in game week 31. By the way, I have to say, we did a little Patreon shout out a minute ago. We met a ton of patrons at the meetup on Friday, and it was old and new, Blair Jacobson and Nick Wright, and a lot of new people too, and that was very cool. So I feel like we needed one bonus shout out there. So thank you to everyone who came out on Friday. All right, so game week 31, it is a 2 weeks away, but you know, the transfers that you start to make now, I think, are really going to determine what you actually do in game week 31. So just a quick programming note, game week 31, Spurs play West Ham on Friday night. Real broken up again. I don't know. It's Friday night. And then Saturday you have Burnley hosting Watford, Liverpool hosting Crystal Palace, and Wolves hosting Burnley. So I know there are some people out there who say, you know, like, I just don't like these teams enough. I don't want to be loaded up on them. I'd rather field five players than burn my double gateway or than burn my free hit chip in game week 31. And I really have to argue with that logic, because for one thing, I actually think it was more true when Norwich were the projected team now to play in 31 instead of Spurs. I think when you add Spurs to the mix and you've got their defenders, you've got Bergwijn, it's a pretty good home fixture. So I think it's reasonable you could bring in someone like Vertonghen, you know, or something like that. And so I think that Spurs alone make it a little more appealing as a free hand option. But I also think that, especially if you've already played an early wild card, and I should also note, obviously, some people will have played their free hit chip already. So in that case, that's sort of a different. That's a different situation. And I think we're going to talk about players that we want regardless. You know, so whether you're burning points, or you're free hitting, or you're just deciding, you know, I'm only going to field seven players that game week, and these are the seven that I want. I think we'll talk about that in a second here. But just on the free hit question, I think that the idea of burning 8 points or something like that, or more, to bring in 9 or 10 players and saddle yourself with a bunch of assets that you don't really want, long term, you know, for the last seven game weeks of the season. It doesn't seem like the right approach to me. It feels like you'd be better off just that, like, you know, a free hit ship that went off even reasonably well is likely to yield, you know, 20 more points than you would have had otherwise, maybe not even taking into account the points you'd burn.
Yeah, there are two different conversations happening. Like, yes, I do concede to mostly Spurs fans that you guys are in rotten form right now, and the assets maybe are FPL toxic. Even still, they appear to be charting higher on assets to get for game week 31, which, as you're saying, Josh, is even more in favor of a free hit so that you don't have to spend not one transfer to get them in, but two transfers then to get them in and then immediately out of your team for somebody that you're going to want for the upcoming double. So, of course, the logic would then be you'd free hit in the doubles, but I think you get my point. So I am totally on board with this line of thinking that maybe they're down table assets, but the free hit allows you to participate, maximize your game score, and then not have to deal with any of these down table assets in the long run. But I mean, I think there are two teams that jump out here, and it's Liverpool and Wolverhampton. Whether you're on free hit or not, those have to be two teams that you target. But is that even a moot discussion? Because I'm feeling like most of us are already loaded up on Liverpool and Wolves. I mean, where are you at? You've got Jimenez and anyone else from Wolves?
Just Jimenez, my team. And so that's part of it is, you know, I would like to have three Wolves for that Bournemouth match. You know, one way I thought we could do this, I mean, you know, at first I was like, well, maybe we could talk about the 11 players who'd have a free hit chip or whatever. But maybe what's more useful, actually, is for us to go through these eight teams and just pick the players, if there are any, that we would want for all eight of these teams. Yeah. Okay. So kick things off with the Spurs-West Ham match. Mm-hmm. On Spurs, Bergwijn, for sure, right? If I free hit in 31, which I almost definitely will, then he will almost definitely be in my squad. It will actually be most useful if they do not advance in the Champions League, but I'm not sure that would make a difference anyways. I think we have to play him. So I'd have Bergwijn. I would probably end up with Dele Alli as well.
Let me take the microphone from you. You are suffering from Dele blindness at the moment, and I know the exact moment in which you were afflicted with this disease. We were sitting in this a true lad pub. Yeah. We were approached by a very menacing young lad in this pub while watching the Burnley Spurs match, which was an interesting experience. But I had you in my life just prior to the Ben Mee tackle, yeah, and the Dele penalty, which, yeah, wiped out your Nick Pope clean sheet. Dele Alli stepped up with the degree of confidence with which Dele stepped up to take that penalty was, I was really feeling it. I feel like Dele has got to be top of your list for a free hit or any midfield sort of upper premium or upper mid-price premium midfielder for game week 31.
Yeah, I think so too. So Alli, Bergwijn, and then, yeah, maybe I guess probably someone like Vertonghen. I mean, I think the way that I'm going to like go for like a real like risky free hit, I'm sure, where I have a bench that's loaded up on 4 million players, and I just hope that, like, you know, no one gets injured at the last minute. And so, yeah, Alli, I mean, none of them are that expensive anyway. Dele Alli is 8 something. Bergwijn is even cheaper, right? I think he's like 7.5 million. And even Vertonghen is somewhere in the fives. So you can tell we're doing this on the fly because normally I would pull up these numbers. But I know that's like the basic range where they all are. So I think those are the players I consider. I guess Lloris would be a consideration. Didn't he get re-injured or something too? He's back now. Okay. He was injured. Now he's back. Okay. So, and he had a pretty decent game, I guess, away to Burnley. Now it's all coming back to me now.
Yeah, though he did spill the initial shot, which led to the Chris Wood goal. So,
right, but some good late saves. I feel like
classic Lloris, yeah, game. A lot of good with a lot of bad.
Yeah, that's true. That's not really the problem with the entire Spurs defense. That's why I would go with the defender just in the off chance that you may be able to get some kind of attacking return. West Ham. That's an interesting one. They're cheap, and cheap can be useful on a free hit. Sometimes you need, you know, an enabling asset. Antonio has looked really good recently. And so, yeah, I guess if I, you know, there's a temptation, I think, to kind of maximize your free hit when you play it. So you know, it's like, well, if I have a Spurs defender, do I really want to have a West Ham player? You know, do I want to like kind of play out the perfect scenario, you know? But realistically, West Ham are probably going to score in that match. Yeah. So if they are, Antonio is probably my pick for West Ham asset.
Yeah, and being at the Emirates on Saturday, Antonio, he had a couple of golden chances to get West Ham on the board. He looked fantastic playing up front. I mean, the question is, how many games in a row can Antonio string together before he destroys one of the giant muscles that he has in his legs? But I think Antonio is the clear favorite there. And Allaire, if you're struggling to fill the front line, and I think you may struggle to fill your front line, particularly on a free hit, unless you're looking at somebody like Callum Wilson, I think Allaire is a good shout. Just thinking of how busy my midfield might be with Spurs assets, Liverpool assets, probably, you know, we'll talk about Watford as well. So Allaire is another good shout. And
it would help if he was better.
We do love good players on the Always Cheating podcast. And Snodgrass's minutes have been a little fluky since Moyes came in, but I think Snodgrass's delivery is so key to unlocking players like Allaire and even Antonio. So if it looks like signs point to Robert Snodgrass starting ahead of game week 31, then I like him as the cheaper pick.
Yeah, although probably a little too risky. I mean, 1 minute this last match, 12 minutes the match before. It's kind of funny because I guess it's one of those like moments where you see everything through a fantasy lens, because in a fantasy perspective, you're like, well, he's got, you know, great balls in, like, you know, it's a set piece threat. I believe he's on a lot of corners as well. Could score a little bit. But you know, clearly it must be like a work rate thing or defensive tracking back, things like that. All right, so West Ham, not too much to say about them, I don't think, beyond that. Burnley and Watford kick things off on Saturday. I guess that would be the 3 p.m. match. So I got a hot take for you, Brandon.
Please go on.
I do not think I will have a single player from Watford in my free hit team.
Okay.
That's how much faith I have in Burnley's defense at home. And in fact, they did concede a goal away to Spurs, but it was a moment of almost suicidally bad defending from Ben Mee that caused it. Otherwise, there was really not a lot of threat from Spurs in that game. So no Watford. What do you think about that?
I can't really dispute it. I think you have players like Sarr and Decore who, like I was mentioning with Snodgrass, and maybe Sarr and Decore are more appealing because their minutes are more locked in than Snodgrass would be. So, yeah, I agree. You're kind of looking at Watford just to fill holes in your squad. I do not want to go on about West Ham assets because, you know, there's not much to say there. But I think it's always an interesting idea, particularly on a free hit chip in a game week like this, to kind of load up on penalty takers. So you'd have Mark Noble at West Ham, good for a cheeky penalty. Troy Deeney, if you were to go for any Watford player, I would agree. I'd feel like the odds on for anyone to get attacking points from Watford against Burnley would probably be Troy Deeney. They're increased just for his ability to take those kicks from the spot. But yeah, Burnley are kind of, they are one of those teams where either you're looking for them fantasy-wise way in the back or way in the front. It's either Chris Wood or Nick Pope. And the decision I'll have to make on my free hit is, do you go for Nick Pope hosting Watford or do you go for Rui Patricio hosting Bournemouth? So that's where I'm at with Burnley and Watford.
Yeah, and as far as Burnley assets go, I think that Chris Wood is pretty tempting. It's really good form right now. I think he's crossed the double-digit mark for goals on the season. If he hasn't crossed it yet, he's close. And this time, I actually am going to pull this up, Brandon, because I am curious. So Wood has 11 goals. Yeah, so he has crossed 11 goals in the season. It actually is the most he's ever scored in a Premier League campaign. It's funny because we all thought Barnes was going to be the one who surpassed it. But after that hot start, and he's had some injury issues. And
disappeared into the Austrian work camp.
I guess so. So Barnes is gone. So I think Pope is really tempting. McNeil has been fantastic. I've always liked McNeil. I still think he is one of those players who will move on to a top six club at some point in the next season or two. Maybe like Everton, actually. That could be interesting. So we'll see what happens with McNeil, but I like him a lot as a fantasy asset. He's a little too expensive, but as a one-off on a free hit, I don't think he's a bad option.
Let me ask you this regarding McNeil. We were talking about Watford midfielders Doucouré and Sarr. If you choose in game week 31 and you have to choose between Doucouré, Sarr, and McNeil, who do you pick?
In 31, yeah, I would go with McNeil for sure. I don't really trust Watford away from home. And I think they are pretty strong at home. But I mean, I think we saw it today, right? They beat Liverpool 3-0. They go away to Palace and they can't do anything. You know, Sarr blanks, Doucouré finishes with 1 point, I believe. So, not a lot of faith in... I mean, Watford are still a team that's really a strong risk of being relegated. And I think that a couple of decent moments recently, but this happens a lot. I think we often see relegated teams beat, you know, big clubs. I mean, you know, Huddersfield beating Man United, I guess it was a couple seasons ago, you know, things like that. So, all right. So that's Burnley and Watford. I think now we get to the big match. Yeah. Liverpool, Crystal Palace. The first question is there anyone from Palace that you'd want on your team?
No, I think Palace, I don't want to disrespect Palace, because I think they have offered a lot FPL wise, especially in the defense, and therein lies the problem. Palace are away from Selhurst Park and they're playing, you know, one of the most high flying attacking teams in the leagues. It's a terrible defensive fixture. So, and I think especially if you're going creative with a free hit, there's really no need to touch Palace, not even a Jordan Ayew. I think Jordan Ayew, you know, generously presents an opportunity for somebody not playing a free hit that's just looking to plug a hole. I mean, I would never recommend burning four to bring in a Palace attacking asset, but that's really all I can offer in favor of them.
Yeah, I agree. I think the real question is, especially again, and I know this is very free hit focused, so forgive me if you're not free hitting, but I think that if you are free hitting, I think Liverpool is the team that requires a little bit of extra thought here, because I have Firmino still, which has been a complete disaster, honestly, mostly because I just opted for him instead of Mane. Had the double up and then Mane got injured, and I don't know, just it was all, I got too cute. You know, it's like getting like the cheapest defender on a good team. You know, it's going to haunt you again and again and again. You know, I got the third best attacker of an attacking trio, and it's really messed up my season a little bit. So I think I would. The question for me is, two Liverpool defenders versus one midfielder versus two midfielders and one defender. I actually think that's a question that we. You know, if you're almost everyone listening to this podcast is three Liverpool players already. So if you're not free hitting, just stay with what you have. If you are free hitting, I would just wait because I would wait to make a decision until game week 31. Maybe you're like right up close to the lead up to it because we just don't know, what's going on with Robertson. We'll see what happens in. You know, they have the Atletico Madrid match in a couple of days. And then, of course, they have the match game week 32. And so we'll see what kind of rotation is there. And I think that just gives me a little bit of pause. I mean, it'd be fun to have Trent, Robertson, and Salah, you know, for game week 31. But I also think, you know, a Van Dijk, Trent, Salah combination or Mane, Salah works as well. So lots of different ways to look at it. It's hard to imagine Palace scoring in that match. It really is.
Yeah. Okay. I'm glad we're talking about this because I had just sort of like in my sleep settled on Mane Salah all the way. I've become biased because those are the only attacking returns I'm ever able to get in a game week. But yeah, the more you were talking about it, Josh, the more I realized, oh yeah, Palace won't score in this match. Right. So there, that makes the, assuming Rabo is good to go, the Rabo Trent double up is as good as the Mane Salah double up in many ways. So I think, talk to me closer too, but now I'm suddenly, the pendulum is swinging toward the defensive double up plus Mane or Salah for me.
It does free up a little extra money to maybe invest in a larger forward line. I mean, you know, and I guess that brings us right to Wolves, where I think Wolves play Bournemouth on Sunday. Great match for Wolves. Maybe less so for Bournemouth, although it could be a fun match regardless. And I think that for me, and just looking at this right now, I mean, I think that the ideal free hit team, in my opinion, would be three Liverpool, three Wolves, probably three Spurs, and two Burnley. I would have any of the away teams in any of these matches. Your combination of Burnley and Spurs may vary a little bit, but you know, Pope and goal certainly seems to make a lot of sense. And so for me, with Wolves, I think it's, I would go with the Jota Jimenez double up, and then I would have Doherty. I suppose that'll be the template, you know, kind of free hit, but why not? I mean, they're super cheap, and so you'll be able to get them in very, very easily. Doherty is obviously a little more expensive, but he's still only 6 million. It's not that bad. So I think that those are the three. Who outside of those three on Wolves, before we even get to Bournemouth, who outside of those three is worth considering?
Well, I brought in Doherty on my wild card, and I'm super happy with that. However, you can now start making a case for Vinagre on the left-hand side. If you're looking at the two heat maps from them against Brighton, you know, we've been on the road and we haven't watched any of that Wolves Brighton match. So it's kind of unclear what happened to Wolves there. But Vinagre was quite a bit farther up the pitch than Doherty was in that match. Now, I don't say that to disparage Doherty, but I think it just means that Vinagre does have something to offer with Johnny Otto still out indefinitely with injury. So Vinagre is an interesting price point if somehow you find yourself in a situation where you can't get Doherty in. But I'm totally with you. Well, Will Bolly has you know, definitely been a talking point for the last month as Wolves have come back into form. And he's great on bonus, and he is a set-piece threat. So, all right, I've already named two alternatives to Doherty there. Going forward, yeah, I don't have much else to add beyond Jimenez and Jota.
Yeah, poor Traore. It's, you know, he may have to get off-season shoulder surgery. And, you know, until he does, I wonder if there's just a little too much risk there. And at some point, you know, athletes are such, you know, confidence is just such a huge part of that process, you know, and feeling confident in your body, feeling confident about what you can do out there. And if he's going to keep dislocating his shoulder like every match he plays, that's going to be a problem.
And listen, if you were to struggle with body confidence, I mean, I'm sure whenever Traore looks in the mirror and he sees his body, he's just like, I'm so ashamed. I should be bigger. Yeah. I should really hit the gym.
That sounds like me after I recorded that FPL show. I feel like he's a little... He's not someone I would necessarily target. You know, I think if you were, you know, if we remove the free hit for a second and you're just looking for somebody cheap, maybe you're moving around a, you know, I don't know, like a Leicester midfielder, you know, Perez or something like that. And you just need somebody cheap. I think that, I think Traore is probably worth the risk, especially against a team like Bournemouth. I think that if you wanted to go with someone like Moutinho, just to be a little bit safer, I think that is also fine. And so I think that those are the players who I think I would most strongly consider on that team.
Let me present a dilemma to you, Josh. So I have, hypothetically, I don't have a free hit and I'm looking at what my plan is going to be for 31. I have Traore. He is a bit of an injury doubt. If it comes to pass in game week 30 that we understand Traore is too high of a risk, who do, and you need to transfer them out ahead of this 31 blank game week, who would you bring in for Traore at that point? Because mind you, if you're not on a free hit, it's kind of a longer term transfer. Does that make, so I can see the sideways moves around the same budget for Traore,
yeah,
being some of those Watford midfielders that we discussed. You could also, you mentioned Moutinho, and I do really like him, though he's kind of low grade FPL. Mm-hmm. Who would you go for in that scenario?
Yeah, I mean, possibly Doucouré in that case. And just hope that they could break down Berlin and get a goal in that match. I mean, he'd be the cheapest as far as, you know, like for like. I think that Sarr is a little more expensive than, just to like very specifically answer your question. He's a little more expensive than Traore. Although, yeah, I guess if you had a little money in the bank, then I Sarr is a long term investment, even if he doesn't return a game week 31, probably worth the money.
Seems like a perfect storm to finally have a reason to bring Dwight McNeil into your FPL team in that situation.
I don't know if that was a leading question or not, but yeah, you're right. I mean, McNeil is a really good option too. So another player that I would, yeah, McNeil, man, this is the McNeil cast. Okay. I'm never going to say a bad word about Dwight McNeil on this podcast. I love him. The only qualm I have is with his price, which is just a little too high.
All right. So that leaves us with Bournemouth, who are away at Wolves in 31. I was delighted at hearing people at our meetup talking about Callum the Truth Wilson. You know, he's having the smallest possible moment right now, just making sure we all don't totally forget about him. I'm going to struggle here to make a case for anyone in the Bournemouth lineup, especially if you're expecting Wolves to score. I mean, Nathan Ake is kind of the most appealing fantasy asset for Bournemouth right now, but I'm expecting Wolves to score, you know, probably two goals, if not more, against them in that match.
Yeah, Wilson does have two goals and four. Total punt, maybe worth it as a punt. I mean, I'm trying to think if there's anyone else on. By the way, David Brooks. I guess he's just going to end up missing the whole season now, isn't he? Yeah, I know. Yeah. I mean, he's still flagged and I don't think, has not played a minute yet. Probably the most fun new player in the league, or, you know, young, cheap asset that you could have last season.
Harry Wilson was close to replacing him, but he just, like most of Bournemouth, hasn't been able to keep it up through the rest of the season.
Yeah, but just, you know, looking at this team, I mean, you've got injury flags on King and Billing, Cook. Yeah, Cook. Well, Cook at our Cook's still on a red, isn't he? I think he's still. No, he just got a hamstring injury. Excuse me. Well, whatever's going
surprise,
on with him. Yeah, not the. Injured. Yeah, I was thinking of the intentional handball in the Norwich match a few weeks ago. So so Cook is injured. There's just a lot of issues with this Bournemouth team, and we'll see where they are in a week's time. But I would. That is actually one on a free hit. Sure, maybe you take a punt on a Callum Wilson. If you are not free hitting, then I would just go ahead and ignore them entirely. All right, that's 31. That's where we are right now. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll get back. We're actually going to talk about the forgotten game week. Poor game week 30. Let's talk about it a little bit, Brandon, in a second.
Hey, gang. Ever wonder why traditional button-ups look so long and baggy? Well, that's because they were never meant to be worn that way. Untucked shirts were specifically designed to be worn untucked. No matter your size or your shape, their shirts are the perfect untucked length. With more than 50 fit combinations, Untucked shirts look great on tall, short, slim, and athletic guys and gals of all ages. Don't just take my word for it. Try Untucked for yourself. But actually, I do recommend you take my word for it. Both Josh and I do have Untucked shirts, and genuinely, I love the way it fits me, and I do wear it to work probably once a week. So it's a great way to kind of feel casual with an untucked shirt, but also look together, structured, and on the fringes of professionality. So visit untuckit.com and use promo code BLUEWIRE for 20% off your first order. They even offer free shipping and returns on all orders in the United States. That's untuckit, U-N-T-U-C-K-I-T BlueWire.com and the promo code BlueWire for 20% off your first order.
All right, Brandon, we're back. Game week 30 is here, or almost here. It'll come after the second leg of the double game week on Wednesday when Man City host Arsenal. So pretty conventional game week, Saturday, Sunday, and then a late match on Monday. I think one thing that's interesting here is I wonder if this is a week to, you know, possibly not captain a Liverpool player. They play on Monday. They play away to Everton. That is possibly a tricky fixture. The match often is. I guess let's just start from the beginning, though. So Saturday, we've got a nice, looks like 14 teams play on Saturday. I feel like we haven't had a Saturday like this in a long time. Just like straight up normal Saturday. It kicks off with Watford hosting Leicester. Some rumors coming through about Leicester's lineup for tonight, but I guess we'll just let that. Well, who knows what's going to happen there, right? Because we just don't know. I mean, is Rodgers really picking his full lineup a full, 36 hours before that match is played? That would seem unusual to do it that late.
It's like, yeah. What is Brendan up to? What is Vardy up to? I mean, maybe Vardy just isn't fit, but yeah. Something's going on there that we don't know. Listen, maybe Mark Albrighton runs the show at training. Who knows?
Yeah.
I'm actually quite fond of Mark Albrighton, but I don't think you can make a case that he's part of their strongest 11.
Yeah, and we were talking about possibly moving to someone like Sarr, as kind of a long-term move, whether we think he's good in Game Week 31 or not. I think this is the match where you would really like to have it, because I just don't see Leicester keeping a clean sheet in this one. Leicester, they'll have played the last match of the last normal match of Game Week 29. It's so hard, these double game weeks, like, changes all your language, but they'll have played the last match of the normal Game Week 29. And then it's the early match on Saturday. Well, I wouldn't be shocked if Leicester scored in that match. I would expect Watford to win, given their recent home form. That Liverpool match really is looming large in my memory right now. And then from there, we've got just a whole bunch of kind of interesting mix of matches, actually. Bournemouth Palace, I think we can just safely ignore that one fantasy-wise. Brighton Arsenal, I guess I've got Aubameyang. I actually think Aubameyang as a captain for Game Week 30 is an interesting shout. I believe Aubameyang scored a brace away to Brighton in last season. Yeah, it would have been last season, but I have a memory because I think it happened around the festive fixtures. So maybe it was a goal and an assist or something like that, but he had a good match away. Brighton, their inexplicable clean sheet away to Wolves aside, their defense has been pretty awful almost the whole season. And it would be so Aubameyang-like. I think his troll reputation is undeserved, as we talked about earlier in this podcast. But for everyone to burn points to bring him in and then go back to have him on their team and not captain him and then have him go off and get a big captain haul away to Brighton, that would be classic. So I think we could see that, though. I guess the only issue there is that, that will be his third match in 8 days. And if he plays 180 minutes in the first two, is that a factor at all?
I don't think it's a concern for me with Aubameyang. He wears the captain armband. The expectation is that he's going to play every possible minute. This isn't like a Jordan Henderson or Granit Xhaka armband situation. I'm talking about IRL armbands. And this Brighton fixture, I agree, it was part of the appeal of loading up on Arsenal assets for the Game Week 29 double. Even though you had City in the second leg of the double, not that appealing. But Brighton here in Game Week 30, I'm all in. So Pepe will roll again for me right now on my bus team. I do have the armband on Aubameyang, so I'm with you there. We do have to spare a thought here for City hosting Burnley. And is it the most insane thing that you could imagine where we are with Aguero versus Jesus, in that everything that happens with that squad makes the decision between Aguero and Jesus more and more impossible?
Yeah. it really is impossible to pick between those two. And it's funny because at the at Old Trafford, they do the clocks a little differently there. It's a countdown clock instead of a count up clock.
Very MLS.
Yeah. And so as I was watching it, I was like, wait, is Aguero going off? Is that the 58th? It was like I had to like do the math in my head. So, yeah, I mean, Aguero gets 1 point. Jesus gets zero because he comes on late and then he gets a really late yellow card. So, yeah, they're both a disaster. This is also ahead of their most important match of the season, the second leg at home to Real Madrid. So I don't know why Pep would take this Burnley match hyper seriously. There's really nothing for them to play for. I mean, there's no chance of them losing a Champions League spot. There's just no risk, really. I mean, also, they may not even have a Champions League spot next year, depending on what happens with this court of arbitration for sport situation. So, yeah, it's really it gives me pause. You know, even if De Bruyne plays on Wednesday, I don't think you can trust that he'll play again on Saturday. If De Bruyne is seriously injured, which I maybe will come out this week, then I think dropping him might actually be on the table as well. So, but speaking of Pepe, is it, how much longer does he get? He sucks, right? He's not very good.
He is one of those players where you you want really hard to see the potential. I agree. Like, I have only become a fan of his in the last 48 hours when he actually snuck into my wild card. Watching, okay, so we're at the Emirates for this Arsenal West Ham match, and it was interesting watching Arsenal come down the right where Pepe was. Ozil and Pepe had no chemistry of any kind. I mean, and Socrates was the right back as far as we could tell. So it wasn't like, despite what we said about that incredible technique that Socrates showed later in the match, it just doesn't seem like a good, it's hard. What I'm trying to say is it's hard to judge Pepe because I just don't think it's been a good fit for the team and the tactics. Where does Pepe fit into our thoughts come next season? I think I'm already saying let's table this Pepe thing until next season because we're not really going to learn anything this season. I don't think he just seems so raw. It's one of those players where you can see the, you know, he's the unit. He's got some technique, but he's just so raw.
Yeah. And considering they spent a fortune on him and, I don't think they were thinking they were getting some players like 5 years away from being, you know, the player they wanted to be. I mean, honestly, if he came in at like 5.5 million next year, I would consider him. But yeah, he's 9.2. I think I bet by game week 32, he's out of your squad. All right, so let's move on though. Man City, Burnley. There's not too much to say there because I just don't. I think we got to wait till that Wednesday match is played. And honestly, I would just be wary of them regardless. Newcastle, Sheffield United. I think that you could very safely play your Sheffield United players in this one. Newcastle, just shockingly, just with like maybe the worst team in the Premier League, are just completely safe from relegation. It might finish top half of the table. It is a mark. I don't really know. I mean, I guess like if you're a Newcastle fan, like they're not playing like beautiful football, but this team can't. I don't know what you want them to do. If I were a Newcastle fan, I would just be like thanking my stars that it's worked out as well as it has because, you know, until they start to, until that team gets sold, I don't know. Like this might just be what the situation is.
It's one of those like the whole nine yards situation. Is that the movie where they play football in the American football in the jail? The longest yard? I don't know.
Longest yard. Yeah. Whole nine yards is like a mob movie.
Yeah, right. I think that's a Bruce Willis movie. Anyway, insert movie reference here in which, you know, some enterprising manager, Steve Bruce, goes around the country getting like discarded players to play in his squad. The Almirons, the St. Maximins, they're exciting, but, you know, they're unconventional. And they're just winning despite themselves. I choose to look at it in the uplifting sense, like when the Bad News Bears actually do beat the upstanding professionals of the neighborhood.
Yeah, you've always been extremely pro Newcastle, and that's what I like about you. all right, so Nora, and as for Lundstrom, I don't know. I guess he probably has to keep a spot now, right? I mean, gets the assist.
He's done everything.
Yeah. Had a little moment of poor form in December, January. They bring in an expensive player, but I mean, he clearly deserves to keep a spot. But who, I mean, you know, who knows? We're not the manager. I feel the same way about Robert Snodgrass, you know? Norwich, Southampton. Yuck. What can you even say? Let's just move on.
No, I don't want to talk about it. I just want to ask you a quick fire question.
Yeah.
Cantwell starts or Cantwell is on the bench for you in 30?
Yeah, Cantwell on the bench for me. I don't trust him at all anymore. A tricky spot for me this week. It was Stevens too, who I might actually start away. That'd be a question actually, whether I would start Cantwell at home to Southampton or start Stevens away, you know, at Norwich. So I'll have to decide that later. I haven't really looked at my team for game week 30 yet. Then we have the late match on Saturday. Aston Villa host Chelsea. This could be a fun match. I think this, Aston Villa are pretty good at home. The last time they played a big match was that Spurs match, and that was a pretty fun match. I'm a little sad that I don't still have Grealish because this would be a fun match to play him in. Chelsea just won 4-0 over Everton at home somehow. I don't know where that came from. What do you see in that one?
Yeah, the 4-0 drubbing of Everton, we were kind of dancing around Chelsea last week just based on Marcus Alonso's form. And there was just a bevy of random midfielders who showed up against Everton, from Pedro to Barkley to Willian. I can't recommend any of them because all three of those players are the embodiment of sometimes good, but always untrustable and unpredictable FPL assets. So I think who you're left with Chelsea, and now what that result I think solidifies for me, is that we really have to seriously consider both Alonso and Olivier Giroud as differential options. We don't need to go into it with Alonso because, you know, we know who he is. We just understand that his price makes him a little tricky to fit in. And with Matt Doherty being the parallel player playing in game week 31, most managers are rightfully going to go for Doherty. But Alonso, fantastic option here. And then Olivier Giroud, Tammy Abraham, there's no solid news about what his expected return is. And much like you were saying about Lundstrom, what more does Olivier Giroud have to do to say, just play me, coach? And to see Giroud going up against that soft Aston Villa back line, I think, you know, I would put some money down that boy gets some attacking returns against Villa.
Yeah, I think you're right. And, what I'm thinking now is I may free hit in game week 31 and wild card in game week 32. So if that is the case, I feel like I almost kind of have a free hit transfer that I can make. And having someone like Giroud for 31, I guess we'll see what's going on with Abraham. If he's just out indefinitely, could he be back by this fixture? I don't actually know as of this recording. So I think I'm with you there, Giroud, or maybe it's too bad Mount went off because he was a good cheap option. We'll see what the the long-term issue is with him there. So that brings us to Sunday, West Ham Wolves. I would expect Wolves to get back on track in this one. I guess, are there Europa League matches on Thursday then? Yeah, I think there's a good chance that there are, and I'm just going to talk, Brandon, while you look these matches up. And it is confirmed there are matches on, yeah. It says 12-3. As Americans, we have to reverse those numbers. And 3-12. So they'll play at Olympiacos on Thursday. So not great. They'll have to go down to Greece. I guess that won't get canceled, right? Greece and close to Italy.
Probably behind closed doors, worst case, right?
Yeah, behind closed doors, worst case. Exactly. We'll start to see how much that impacts all of these Champions League matches. Juve are still in the Champions League, right? I know that France is now gatherings over 1,000 people have been banned in France. So
I just saw PSG Dortmund is behind closed doors.
Is it really? Okay. Yeah. And so I know. And that's one thing I feel like with our trip that we may have dodged a bullet there, because I wonder in a couple of weeks if we're going to start to see the same thing. Maybe we may see the same thing with the NCAA tournament too, which just breaks my heart because it's my favorite sporting event of the year. And now I'm imagining just coaches, like players and their coaches, with nobody in the stands. And what a weird experience that would be. It'd be like watching practice or something. But anyway, so Wolves play away to Olympiacos, and then they play away again on Sunday. Tricky, but I don't really know what you can do about it, except maybe if you were thinking about bringing in like a third Wolves player, I might hold off and wait until game week 31 to do that. Because this is the kind of match where they could be caught a little flat-footed, possibly lose. Spurs-Man United is the late match on Sunday. That should be kind of fun. It's sort of interesting. Yeah. Man United are good form right now.
Bruno Fernandes, you know, I could kind of get away with the Pepe on wild card, where he should have actually been Bruno Fernandes. So Bruno getting the assist against City, just by the skin of the double game week, maybe Pepe can match that. But I'd still like this as a good fixture for Bruno Fernandes. You know, Man United are now 10 unbeaten, and they're gonna smoke Spurs. I mean, they will have a burning fury in their belly for Jose Mourinho. I mean, doesn't everybody at this point? But yeah, and I think the thing that has not really been spoken about a lot now is United's defense. If you look at, Lindelof, probably the one that we need to speak about least, but he's the one that came away with 3 bonus points in the derby. Maguire really active. Wan-Bissaka was electric. To watch Aaron Wan-Bissaka at Old Trafford was among my favorite things. Like, he was so fast and so good. That was just confirmed.
Yeah, Daniel James was a fun player to watch too. When he just, I mean, he can't really do anything, but like just watching him like get up ahead of steam and start running, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, really fast. So, yeah, I mean, I guess I don't want to go overboard with this fixture, but it's kind of like hold them and play them with confidence, your United assets, when they go to the new White Hart Lane.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And Spurs, not a lot to say there. Everton hosts Liverpool on Monday. We talked about this a little bit already. I think, Salah is certainly a safe captain pick, probably the safest captain pick, just considering his form. Doesn't feel like a match where he's going to get an explosive result, right? But if he got 8 points, that would feel like almost kind of what you'd expect, right? Firmino, who's been very frustrating, I will probably keep him for this match because he has 10 goals in the season. All 10 of them are on the road. Unreal. Bizarre. I'm not really sure why that is. It must be like a space issue, I think how Everton bounced back, it's almost a shame for them that this match is coming so much later, because it's the Monday night match. I'm sure they wanted to get out there like 2 days later and just,
put things right.
Yeah. But now it's going to be 8 days later. It feels too long to kind of have that, sit with you. And it's a derby match anyway. So, the different considerations there. But as far as that 4-0, I don't think, especially because it's a derby, I don't see that having a lingering effect. I know that Calvert-Lewin had a big chance in yesterday's match that he spurned. The fact that he's just getting big chances all the time, I think, is the good sign. So, but it's DCL and nobody, I would say, on this team otherwise. Yeah. Dean did come back yesterday. A lot of good it did them, but he is back in the team. And then Liverpool, I guess we'll just find out, soon what's going on with Rabo. But yeah, so captains, Aubameyang, Salah, who else? I mean,
that's
kind of it, right?
Kind of it.
Sar, if you want to be really, really crazy.
It's the week of away captains. I think the cheeky captain might be somebody like Olivier Giroud, who is at Aston Villa. Or that's like too cheeky. Wolves, probably one of the tastier away matches, again, talking about the way West Ham sets up defensively. Them playing at home, you feel like they're going to come out a little bit more, which would favor Jota and Jimenez. So if it's not Salah, if it's not Aubameyang, I think Jimenez is the solid third choice for me.
Yeah. I think it would be great if he didn't play and that or didn't start at least. Yeah. All right. So that's where we are. And that's the podcast. I know a little bit different. We didn't take any questions this time around, but we did want to get something out while we were still in London. Thank you again to James and Jules and everybody at the FPL TV show for having us. Thanks to James Alcott for having us on the FPL FYI show. And we actually left to leave in about an hour to go record that. So it's been a really, really amazing trip. And it is not over. And thank you to listener Paul, by the way, for helping us with, we have a lot of people to thank, actually, Paul and Patty and Suge and just a lot of different people.
Thanks to Josh for the Newcastles.
Yeah, lots of people to thank. I don't even want to start thanking too many people because then we're going to forget somebody, but a lot of people to thank. But thank you for listening. We'll be back to normally scheduled podcasts next Sunday night. For now, if you'd like to support the podcast, reminder, you can go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. Thanks to all the new patrons. Thank you to some of the, we saw some producers, at the meetup too. Blair Jacobson was there and Nick Wright. And I think that was it. Maybe a couple others. I'm just forgetting right now. But if you want to become a supporter and say thanks, go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. It's a great way to support what we do. You get access to a bonus podcast each week, our Slack network, our private mini leagues, where you can get free t-shirts like the new ones that we're creating. And those free t-shirts are a great giveaway for somebody in your mini league, or maybe just for yourself if you win your mini league. So keep that in mind. Brandon, do you want to do a quick thank you to our producers?
Yes, I do. Let me clear my throat. Okay. Thank you to our producers, as always, Trevor Ingerson, Mike DiPietro, Chris Howell, Andy Penn, Chris Carter, Martin Savage, Brian T, DeBig Gaffer, Bobas Kuhn, Jeff Husby, Ben Grant, James Holland, Jazz Binning, Dave Wagner, Lodahl, Nick Wright, Jim Payne, Brian Chin, Blair Jacobson, Frederick Kean Gransky, Travis West, Alan Creasy, Victor Forberg Skoging, Paul Herzig, Kaya, Christine Lalangstein, Stian Niehaus, Barry McGuire, Peter Bodektel, Andy Portlock. Andy, great to meet you at the meetup. Thank you, sir. Toothless Thanks. Gibbon, Andy Martin, Lindsay Rostel, Anton Markov, FPLmerch.com, and James Conroy. Never forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the Always Cheating Podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever you get podcasts. Also follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We've been posting a number of pictures from our trip on our Instagram and Twitter feeds. So find us there on Twitter at Hail Cheaters, Instagram at Hail Cheaters, Facebook.com/alwayscheating. Send us your emails, hailcheaters@gmail.com, or visit the website for all this information and more. It's alwayscheating.com. Josh, this has been a busy trip. I need to take a moment to schedule my incoming heart attack. So,
I know. Yeah, I know. Like, there's as you may have heard, Brandon, there's a serious illness sweeping the globe, and I think, traveling across the country or across the pond, all these meetups, all these matches. But my health is holding up so far. We've got 48 hours left, or no, not even 24 hours left. Can we do it?
Yeah.
Can we get through the gauntlet? We're almost there.
One last update, talking about healthy living. We never have received so much feedback in our podcast history as when we put out the call for best curry in England. We haven't had really a minute but to eat like sandwiches that we get at the train stations. So we haven't managed to make it to any curry houses. No Brick Lane. We got good recommendations for Leicester being the home of great curry in England. And also no cheeky Nando's for us. So we're just going to come back and have to do a straight up no football, just food tour of England.
Straight up curry trip of England. All right. Thank you all for listening. Back with the normal podcast next week. Thank you to everyone we met in the UK. See you in a week.
Poku forever.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.